Turns out Mike McGlinchey getting his weight up. He's over three bills. We've got some updates on some injured 49ers. What's going on with McGlinchey? What's going on with Kinlaw as the 49ers held their local NFL draft pro day? We're talking safeties. What is it that the 49ers even exactly need at the safety position? All that coming up right now.
You are Locked On 49ers, your daily San Francisco 49ers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On 49ers. Brian Peacock and Eric Crocker with you once again at BD Peacock at Eric underscore Crocker. Thanks for making us your first listen here on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. We're talking safeties. We're talking Jimmy Ward saying, like, dude, don't trade DK Metcalf. Bring him on. I want to get to that stuff a little bit later. And who should be playing next to Jimmy Ward for the 49ers this year? Is he not on the roster yet? Or maybe is he on the roster? Or maybe is he somebody who should? Has been on the roster who should come back. That's one of those potential possibilities too. So a lot of ways the 49ers could go. I think it's safety and edge rusher. We'll talk about Cameron Thomas out of San Diego State. But first, Mike McGlinchey posting some videos of him working out, standing on the scale. I think this is a direct response, not necessarily to us, although shout out to Mike McGlinchey, Big Mike, if he is watching this podcast. 310 pounds for Mike McGlinchey. Showed himself working out. He was pulling the sled a little bit, or I don't know what he was doing, pulling something. He was strapped into some kind of mechanism there, and you know he was doing some
looked like a little resistance, training.
I will say his legs were still looking a little slim because he had shorts on when he was doing the workout at the facility there for the 49ers. So keep the squats going, Big Mike. But yeah, over 310 pounds. So that's good news because he was looking like he was. I was worried he was going to show up 265 pounds to training camp. That's what he looked like in that one photo. And again, could have been I don't know when the photo was taken. Could have been a weird angle or whatever. But Mike McGlinchey's getting the weight up, getting the strength up, and it looks like his quad, which is the big thing for him, is to be healthy and be on the field, right? And it looks like the quad is responding to at least workouts. So looking like McGlinchey's in good shape, which is good news because we hadn't really heard about Mike McGlinchey. And it was like, what's going on with this dude? Is he going to be ready to go or not? And it's looked like he is on the path to being ready to go.
Yeah, definitely can kind of, you know, stop hitting the panic button a little bit when it comes to that right tackle position. You know, watching him this early in the process, right now it's still April, right? And I mean, we say early in the process, but guys will be reporting as early as what, next week for OTAs?
Next week, OTA, so yeah,
there's going to be somebody at right tackle. Most likely will not be Mike McGlinchey, but just to see him kind of, you know, training with that type of intensity, working resistance bands, things like that are going to definitely put a strain on that quad, really testing it out. That shows that he's on the right track to recovering and being a 49ers right tackle for the season.
As he took a photo of himself on the scale at 310 pounds, he called out one of his teammates who's also in recovery mode right now and rehabbing at the facility. And Kyle Shanahan has talked about looking out his window in his office and seeing Javon Kinlaw out there on the field working out. McGlinchey shouted out Javon Kinlaw and said he wants to give a special shout out to @MookDog3 is his handle on Instagram for being an incredible training partner over the last few months. The best is yet to come. And Javon Kinlaw, I don't know if it was Javon Kinlaw who said it, or maybe John Lynch said it. Somebody in the organization said that Javon Kinlaw is as healthy as he's been as a member of the 49ers, which is good news and kind of bad news, right? Because, I mean, it's April. He needs to be healthy in September and especially November and December, right? And if this is the most healthy he's been in a random April, it's not a good sign for what he has been throughout his career so far. But good signs right now. And, you know, this is the time where you get good press and good vibes throughout the offseason. You get good reports on guys getting healthy, but at least it's the path, you know, they're on the right path. They're going in the right direction right now. And it would be bad if it was like, oh man,
D4, like around D4 where he's at, like that would be bad. Right?
Yeah. Or setbacks, or, you know, so is going to get another checkup and, you know, it's not really ready to work out. Yeah. You know, those kind of things. So, at least good news on that front. We'll see how it turns out for those players. But some positive vibes for Javon Kinlaw and Mike McGlinchey, two former first-round picks for the 49ers that need to have big years. I mean, it's important for those guys that were drafted high that the 49ers are leaning on to be impact players for them, be impactful.
Yeah, and you kind of, again, I don't want to say you expect Moot Dog 3 to be as healthy as he's ever been. But, you know, like, well, he hasn't played football in a really long time. So he's had a good, you know, he had some surgery, I believe, some things that they kind of cleaned up or whatnot, recovering from that. If he's feeling good, that's awesome. But it's like, well, you kind of are supposed to feel good when you haven't played any kind of contact football in months.
Right.
So your body should feel the best it is. Now, when you get back out there and you have, you know, guys that you're pushing against, how will your body, how will that knee react to that? And that's going to be the ultimate test. So right now, that's awesome that he's feeling great, but I won't be overly encouraged until he can hold up through training camp. And if he does that and he's still feeling great and he's like, hey, man, it's week one and this is the best I've felt since being a 49er. If you're still hearing that at that time and there's no setbacks and you don't see him having those days off. Remember Jalen Hurd? Man, gosh, just remember Jalen Hurd. But remember Jalen Hurd?
Yeah, it wasn't that long ago. He was on the roster to in training camp last year.
I know, but remember how, you know, he was kind of coming along. He was feeling good. Then all of a sudden, oh, 2 days in, oh, knee flared up. Right. And then, oh, he's back out there and he's running a few routes. And then, oh, has setback. And then, oh, preseason game coming up. Oh, well, there's no Jalen Hurd out there. You don't want that to be the situation with Mook Dog 3.
Yeah, you hope it's not chronic injuries that just doesn't allow to him to have the career he should have, because he's a big, monstrously talented guy. You know, he's a beast. And so hopefully the 49ers get that guy in the middle of their defensive line.
When you are that heavy, though, I mean, because I don't think it could be good on your joints and ligaments and things like that to be a guy that's carrying around 330 pounds. Like everybody says, like he's like one of the largest humans for whatever reason. I think some people, they just look massive. Right. I mean, it's not like he's the tallest guy. It's not like he's the heaviest guy. But for whatever reason, however he looks, everyone talks and makes note about how massive he looks. So I just come back to that can't be great for your knees. You know,
I mean, as someone who needs to get in better shape and is carrying more weight than they should. I'm not 340 pounds or anything like that. But it's like, yeah, dude. My joints hurt more than they should be because I need to get in better shape and have less weight on my joints when I'm doing the activities that I'm doing. So, yeah, I can imagine how that would be if I was, you know, over 100 pounds heavier than what I am right now. That would be pretty rough on the old joints.
Is there a chance that they tell him, all right, look, we need you to slim down. All right. When I was with the New York Jets, when you reported to training camp, like offseason OTAs didn't really care. And it was really weird for me to see guys, how they kind of just like, not really cared about OTAs. Guys didn't really care about OTAs like that, like in the sense of kind of their body and their conditioning and stuff like that. Like it was almost like they just showed up, which me, I was like in the best shape of my life ever. I was like 7% body fat, hitting 350 on the bench press. Like that was like prime Crocky. And that was just OTAs. The other guys are like, OTAs, who cares? They're showing up overweight, whatever. And then they show up to training camp and they kind of are the best shape of their life. But one thing that I remember them telling me, They told us where they want you to be. So it was like, all right, Eric Crocker, we want you at, you know, at close to 6'2". You have to weigh between 193 pounds and 195 pounds. And for every pound I was over 195, I would get fined $1,000. All right. So hey. I was like, okay, I can't be. So would they do something like that? And the reason why they did that is because like with their scientific thing and they put you in these pods and they connect you to things, that's where you will have your peak performance between that weight. And I think I was around 200 when I showed up. So I was like, no, you need to lose a little weight so you can add a little bit more to your game. I wonder if they're doing that with Mook Dog. I probably got to stop calling him Mook Dog. They're probably like, who? But Kinlaw. All right.
Yeah. I wonder who had Mook Dog 1 and Mook Dog 2 already. So he had to go to Mook Dog 3.
He wore number 3 at South Carolina, right?
He did wear number 3. I forgot, because that's a very small number for a very large man. That's too small of a number, actually. remember, who's the edge rusher that signed in Pittsburgh last offseason?
Ingram.
Yeah, Ingram. And he wore number 6 because they can wear those single digits now. I was like, no, you got to take that off.
It looked ugly.
You're too wide for number 6.
I feel like the single digits sometimes, like I feel like on Mook Dog, it looked good on them at South Carolina, but
it didn't look odd. But
for whatever reason, his swag has, you know, not, you know, I pay attention to those things. It's actually kind of going backwards. Like it just looked good. The way he put his uniform on at South Carolina looked good. The face mask that he wore, all that stuff looked good. Helmet, face mask, combination, gloves. But then he gets to the 49ers and he wears like this hideous looking face mask. I'm like, what is Mook Dog doing? That's not Mook Dog. That's Kinlaw, right? So you can't even call him by his nickname anymore. Yeah.
Maybe he can give McGlinchey, you know, 10, 15 pounds and they'll be set rolling in really good shape for training camp. One guy needs to make sure he's got an anchor and as strong as possible. And I think it would benefit Kinlaw to not be, although he's going to be playing a little bit of the nose. So they probably want him to be large, but they don't need him to be that large. That 340 is probably too much.
I think McGlinchey at 310 if he can get it to where, like, because right now, right, I'm like 210. I shouldn't be 210. I should really be like 200 pounds or so, 195 really. All right, but you can
between
you
193 can, and 195.
Right, his right. That's where I need to be. His 310. It can look different, right? Like you can, he can drop weight, he can cut and then bulk back up to 310, and it can look different than the 310 that he is right now. Can he be a better version of himself at 310? And if he could do that, that would be ideal because we've seen him play at like 290. That's not where you want to be. How in shape is he right now at 310? Is that bad weight? You don't want that, but you do want him to be at that weight. So can he maybe drop down, cut a little bit, and then eventually, you know, come by training camp, build back up to where it's like, oh man, I'm 310 like I was in April, but this is a much better version. That body fat percentage has dropped off a little bit.
A more powerful version. Yeah. And for his height, 310 isn't even that much weight. And I think, you know, it's probably why his legs were looking a little bit thin in those workout photos and videos is just because of the quad injury. He couldn't work out his lower half, I'm sure, for months, right? So some atrophy there and you're going to slim down. So, and that's a big part of having an anchor and having strength and being able to move people off the ball and those types of things. So that's going to be a big one is can he get that lower body strength back? That's probably going to be the biggest battle for Mike McGlinchey, obviously coming off of that quad injury going into training camp and into the 2022 season. All right, let's talk safeties. Croc, what do the 49ers actually need specifically? Well, if you could build a safety for the 49ers to plug into the 2022 defense, what would that look like next? How about Bet Online? Tons of things you can bet on. Still football related at Bet Online. Like, how about this? 2022 regular season defensive MVP. Myles Garrett is the leader in the clubhouse there. 13-2 odds. 7-1 odds for TJ Watt to get the award again. Aaron Donald, I mean, if he's anywhere other than one, it seems like it's pretty good odds there. 7.5-1 for Aaron Donald to be defensive player of the year. Micah Parsons, Nick Bosa showing up number 5 on the list, even ahead of his brother. Nick Bosa, 11-1. Joey Bosa, 18-1. You can bet on tons of NFL futures, Super Bowl futures, NFL draft props. There are so many of those and tons of odds for every sport you can imagine at Bet Online. All the latest sports developments, league reviews, news, including NBA playoffs and the start of the Major League Baseball season. Bet Online is your continued source for all sports, wagering, information, live betting, playoffs, esports, and more. So get over to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends and action at Bet Online, where the game starts. Thanks, everybody, for making Locked On 49ers your first listen every day. Big stuff coming on the NFL draft for the network that's going to include both Croc and I. Of course, we're going to be talking about 49ers draft here on this program, but starting Thursday, April 28th, that is draft night. That is the first round of the NFL draft. Tune in to Locked On NFL Draft's live coverage of the 2022 annual NFL selection meeting. All 3 days of real-time analysis from our extensive lineup of experts and insiders, including Eric Crocker. And for those of you dying to know who your team will take, catch the Odyssey Locked On Mock Draft Special, hosted by yours truly, Brian Peacock, and my co-host on the Peacock and Williamson NFL show, Matt Williamson, former NFL scout. We will be doing that show all week long, doing a mock draft leading up to the first pick. So check out all of that here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Draft season is fun. We're 2 weeks away, Croc. It's coming very quickly. So we got to cover more of these prospects the Niners might actually take once they get on the clock at 61 or a little bit earlier, maybe. Or maybe some of the players they might be drafting later on day two and day three as well. Behind the scenes, Croc, we're the GM of the 49ers when it comes to that mock draft special. We're trying to figure out who the 49ers should take at 61. And we've been breaking down a lot of defensive ends. We've been breaking down a lot of offensive linemen, a lot of safeties. So I want to ask you, because we've had some conversations in our war room about safety.
Yeah.
Jimmy Ward. I know you love Jimmy Ward. You love his game. He's a do-it-all type of safety. Really underrated, I think, nationally, right, for what he can do on the field. And by the way, love him calling out DK Metcalf. Not so much calling him out, but just the confidence of him saying, don't trade DK Metcalf. I want to play against him. You know, I want to play against that dude. I want to line up with that dude, right?
No, he said he wants to line his ass up. That's what he said.
Line his ass up. Yeah. I want to make that accurate. That's got a little different connotation there.
Yeah. I love it. I love when he talks like that. There are some people that are like, oh man, you don't want to put a target on your back, all that. And it's like, dude, see, people that talk like that, they don't give a damn about a target on their back. They want the target. Yeah. Like that probably like fuels them and drives them to like go above and beyond what other people think that they're capable of doing. So I love that he does that. Obviously he did that with Matthew Stafford last year, where he's just like, say Matthew Stafford is Detroit. Like, wasn't scared of him then. I'm not scared of him now. Like, why would I be scared of him? And he actually played extremely well against him. He picked him off, what, three times? Ran one back for a touchdown. So, you know, he had his success. And the 49ers obviously went 2-1 against the Rams on the season. But I love the confidence that he plays with. And I think an underrated aspect of his game is just how much he talks on the field. And you got an inside look at that when I believe it was DK Metcalf was mic'd up. And I don't know, did you see this clip about a year or so ago?
I don't remember it.
Yeah, so DK Metcalf was mic'd up. And DK Metcalf, he is an alpha. Like, obviously, he looks like that. You know, there's some people who, like, look like Tarzan, plays like Jane. Well, he looks like Tarzan, and he plays like Tarzan. Like, he's an alpha on the field. Mm-hmm. And he, like, it looks like he tries to intimidate people. And he was trying to intimidate Jimmy Ward. I mean, he's calling him out of his name. He's calling him the B word, all this. And Jimmy Ward is not backing down. So DK is mic'd up. And you can hear him talking, but you can hear a little voice. Hey, man, 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 man. And it's Jimmy Ward. And he's barking at him. And he's going low. And you got DK, you know, he gets chopped down by Jimmy Ward. He's like, yeah, you better go low. Calls him B word. He's like, yeah, I'm here. Yeah, okay. Yeah, like, you know, you just hear him, and I'm like, man, I love Jimmy Ward. And he's like, how do you not like him? And obviously, yeah. I think a lot of people have learned to like him more because his personality shines so much when he goes on Instagram, and he's just talking. And I think it's just the way he talks. There's a lot to like about him. I think the more that comes out about him, the more people are fans of him.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, Jimmy Ward has won more and more fans on and off the field. And early in his career, it was like, oh, is this going to be a Trent Baalke bust? And some fans were worried about him. He's bounced around between positions. And in a lot of ways, maybe that has helped him because he can do everything on the field for the 49ers. He can sneak into the box. Even though he's not the biggest safety in the world, he can cover guys in the slot. He's got range in center field, right? And so Jimmy Ward's a really good player. And obviously, the 49ers have paid him to be the guy at free safety. But who do you play next to him? The 49ers drafted Talanoa Hufanga, and they utilized him quite a lot as a rookie. And he's really good. I always say this about Hufanga. He's really good going downhill, right? He's really good going forward. He's a box type of safety, maybe a future linebacker. It was kind of our scouting report coming out of college, but you know, he showed me some things his rookie year. But still, you get worried when he's deep in coverage. And when he's going backwards, that's where you start to see some problems. And he did have some problems in coverage last year. And I don't like the idea of interchanging him with Jimmy Ward. So do the 49ers feel the same? Would the 49ers roll into the season with Hufanga as just the straight-up starter next to Jimmy Ward, and they're done? They drafted their guy. They developed him. That's the starter. And if not, what do the 49ers need? Because that would tell me then you don't want just a box safety, just a, you know, quote-unquote old-school traditional strong safety is not really what the 49ers should be looking for then, right? Maybe they should need to be looking for a guy that's much more similar to Jimmy Ward than similar to the traditional strong safety.
You talked about Hufanga, and I think he's the guy. He kind of reminds me of the walk-on at a university where they're going to continue to kind of bring in these other guys that might be, you know, oh, this guy, the walk-on, you know, he was a one-star and he's kind of an overachiever. But it's like, man, we're always looking for that three-star, four-star, five-star safety to come in and play over Hufanga. And if Hufanga does become the starter, I believe it's going to be because whoever they anticipated being the starter, maybe he got hurt. And Hufanga just stepped in and had to play an extended period of time. And over that time, he proved I can be the long-term guy. But I think it's going to be a little difficult for him to truly get that opportunity, because until he truly proves it, they're always going to be looking for that next thing. So, you know, from an athletic standpoint, you talked about him playing in high, and he can do it, but you always want to use guys to their strengths. And I don't know if it's like, hey, man, like that has shown to be a big time strength of Hufanga, playing out there in space, downfield, too high. We talked about him at USC, play a lot more near the line of scrimmage. So, you know, you talked about what are you looking for opposite him. I think if you are going in there with more of a balanced look at your safety position, I think the ideal thing to have is more Ward and Tart, that type of guy, because Tart, although he is a bigger guy, he is that thumper. He closes down. He can play in the box. He's also someone who can play single high. He is someone who can do two high things. He's someone that plays very well in space. Obviously, I think with Ward and Tart together, you would like to see more interceptions, but just in the sense of their versatility, but even within them being versatile, they still have these like clear strengths of like, hey, I really excel at this, and it kind of balances the other guys. I think ideally that's what you're looking for.
Okay, I want to throw some specific names out there when it comes to some draft prospects that we can talk about and why we would like them or maybe not be a great fit for the 49ers there in round two or round three. And then let's talk Cam Thomas, an edge prospect that could potentially be a future 49er next. How about Shady Rays? I know everyone's getting primed for summertime, seeing a lot more sunshine, a lot more heat, although I think there was tornado warnings over there where Croc is today. I'm glad he made through that okay. I know he actually had to change our podcast time because there was some thunderstorms there. But for most of the country, especially here in California, and I'm sure it's getting pretty warm pretty soon there in Arkansas as well, you need some sunglasses. The sun is coming out. It is summertime. And you can get high-end premium sunglasses that aren't going to set you back $200 a pair, which is pretty ridiculous from most of these companies for the sunglasses they sell. You can get just as good of frames, fantastic designs from Shady Rays, an independent sunglass company that gives you the features of those $200 sunglasses for a fraction of the price. That means polarized lenses, well-constructed, durable frames, premium high-end finishes. Also, something you won't find anywhere else is Shady Rays' insane protection program. Lost or broken, you lose your sunnies, get them replaced. Protection for every pair, no matter if they're lost or broken, at Shady Rays. Plus, 10 meals are donated to fight hunger in America when you shop with Shady Rays, exclusively for our listeners, a special deal as well. So if you didn't have enough reasons to buy Shady Rays by now, here's another one. How about 50% off two or more pairs of polarized sunglasses using promo code Locked On? That's right, promo code Locked On for their best deal of the season. 50% off two or more pairs of Shady Rays sunglasses backed by over 150,000 verified 5-star reviews. And you know when the sunglasses always go on is when you get in the car in the summertime and you got to have your wiper blades. You got to have your car tricked out just right. You got to make sure you've got your jumper cables. You've got to make sure your carpet inside your vehicle is on point. And you can find all of that at rockauto.com. And there's so many different makes and models and number of vehicles out there on the road. It's impossible for your local chain store to stock all of those parts you need. But the inventory at rockauto.com, and I've been there many times, is insane. They have everything, and I mean everything, for your specific car or truck. It is unreal. You save time and money when using rockauto.com. And oh yeah, they don't mark up everything that they sell from that one manufacturer they might happen to have in stock that you can't see what the other guy on the screen is looking at your auto parts store. Yeah, they don't charge you 30%, 50%, even 100% more for those same parts as your local chain store or car dealership. For example, a Honda Odyssey fuel pump is $353 from a local chain store, but from Rock Auto, $216. So save that money and shop at Rock Auto, a family business that's been helping do-it-yourselfers for over 20 years. Go to rockauto.com right now. See all the parts available for your car or truck. Write Locked On in there. How did you hear about us box? So they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need, rockauto.com. So, Croc, some of the names that were getting close to the 49ers pick, I don't want to ruin who was on the board for us, who we chose for the 49ers in the ultimate mock draft, but, you know, names like Jalen Petrie, who's been very popular for the 49ers in some mock drafts. Nick Cross out of Maryland, another guy that we talked about here on the pod that's been very popular for the 49ers. There is Jaquan Brisker is another name at safety that's been very popular for the 49ers. A few different sort of, you know, hybrid corner type players, some box safeties, some really athletic guys, dudes running 4.3s. There's sort of a different size and shape to all of these players. So which one is the fit, right? Which one is the fit? Do you want another Jimmy who can roll in and do some things in the slot, who can play also deep, but that might not be as big as, say, Tart was, or might not be your traditional thumper at strong safety? Is that something that you would be okay with, that you'd be looking for? Or do you want that guy who's maybe a tone setter that also has some range on the back end, but not, might not be as quick twitch just because he's sort of a bigger bodied, thicker, muscled up sort of a safety.
I'm definitely looking more for the guy to balance what you get from Jimmy Ward. And I think with Jimmy Ward, what they have him do, I think he does it extremely well, being a single high guy, being a two high guy, but also being one of the rare safeties that has tremendous coverage ability in the slot. I mean, it doesn't matter the size of whoever is in the slot. It can be a twitched up guy. He's locking up that. It can be a tight end. He's doing well against that. Obviously, Cooper Kupp, he's won more battles, and obviously, I mean, we saw in the NFC Championship game, Cooper Kupp kind of had his way a little bit. But, you know, regardless of whoever it is, like, he's good in that role. And you want him to continue to do those things and be that chess piece in your defense. So, ideally, right, I want someone who gives me a little bit something different than what Ward does and kind of balance them out. And you and I, there were a few names that we did discuss. You talked about Petrie and what he does. I think kind of the scout report on him and kind of what's hard for me is to know, you know, you have to really scout with projection with him being more of a guy playing in space. Now, you want to say a guy that did that in recent years, Javon Holland, who was at Oregon and got drafted to Miami Dolphins. He had a tremendous rookie year. He was a guy, he just played nickel. He played almost like what you saw from Petrie. And he excelled. As a matter of fact, nobody's talking about it. I don't know if it's because he played for Miami or what, but Holland had one of the better rookie years of any defensive player in last year's class. So, you know, do you see Petrie potentially being a guy that can make that type of transition? If so, then it does fit. For me, it's been a little bit harder because you watch him and almost like Daxton Hill out of Michigan, like they are nickels. And they're kind of listed as safeties, but it's like, no, those guys are corners, essentially with how they're played. Now, with Petrie, you did get a lot of blitzing off the edge. He played very well around the line of scrimmage. They didn't ask a whole lot from man coverage perspective like they did Daxton Hill over there in Michigan. But you said, you know, twitched up, change of direction is good. Good feet, hips, all those things. And he tested well at his pro day when he finally ran his 40-yard dash. So, you know, I like him as well. And then again, you know, back to like a guy like Brisker or Nick Cross. And you and I, we have – you know, our thoughts on both of those guys. And I like Brisker a lot in the sense of it's like, man, when you think of Tart. And again, Tart, he's very rare. Like, you typically don't see 6'2", 225-pound safeties, right? Like, Tart, like, in running in the 4.5s, like, he's a big, fast, physical safety. And most guys aren't that. But you look at a guy like Jaquan Brisker, he's 6'1", 200 pounds, much smaller than Tart, but has a similar kind of play style. And I think he fits more of like, if you're trying to replace Tart, you know, one for one, it would be a guy with more of Brisker's skill set as opposed to, you know, with what he's shown on film.
Yeah, 4.4, 940. He can play some in space. And that's one of the keys too, because you don't need to apply if you can't play in space, if you can't play coverage, because that's the name of the game in the NFL these days. And you've already got Hufanga. So you've already got a box safety who you're a little bit worried about in coverage. If you're not really good in coverage, then why would you even go there and spend the draft pick? Go somewhere else, right? And so there's a lot of options there. Nick Cross ran a 4.3, and you know, you see some of these guys being able to raise some angles too in the run game. So being able to stop the run, I'm sure John Lynch likes him a safety that can thump a little bit too. So it'll be interesting to see who the 49ers target there with those style of players. But you got to be able to cover. You got to be able to interchange with Jimmy Ward. I think that's something that you have to be able to do. Or else, for me, it's not going to be worth pick 61 and probably not worth pick 93 or 105 either for you as a safety. Good comp with Holland. I didn't think about that. That's a really good one. He had an awesome rookie year. Yeah, he's been a good pick for the Miami Dolphins.
I think their uniforms are ugly, and that makes it, you know, look at them. Like,
Dolphins? Or Oregon?
Yeah, I don't like them. Not Dolphins.
Everyone loves Oregon. Oregon's got that Nike connection maybe is why, but I think that Oregon's terrible. All those different uniforms they're bringing through. I think
they've gotten a little out of control with it. And they're I'm not a fan of the huge numbers.
Right. Yeah, that's not right. It's the opposite of Ingram wearing the number 6 for the Steelers. It's like it's too big, too. It makes you look slower.
Yeah.
Or do you just, if the right guy's not there, just bring Tart back. He's still a free agent.
Well, I think you know you have that in your pocket. And Tart won't be picked up until the draft is over. Unless there's just like a freak injury in OTAs, I don't think you'll see him picked up. So the 49ers have that in their pocket. And I would love to have Tart back. But again, I mean, at some point you do want to learn, you know, get a little bit cheaper and get a guy. If you're getting a guy late second round, you know, you'll have him for 4 years and probably pay a total of $40 million maybe, and it starts off really low. So, yeah, you want to bring him back. But if you can get a guy in the draft that you feel like you can groom to be that guy, then you do it. I think a perfect opportunity would have been more last year to maybe draft somebody a little bit higher to eventually feel like that's his successor.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that's how they feel about Hufanga. But to me, from the athletic trait standpoint, he doesn't quite match that, or at least even what we saw on film.
At least the 49ers probably feel like they're in a spot with Hufanga, with Tarvarius Moore coming back, that I don't know what to expect from him. And with Tart being someone who's still out there in free agency, they could bring back. At least they shouldn't feel like they're forced that they have to do something and force the pick because of need at safety. So that's a good place to be, because you don't have to force that pick if the right player is not there. But man, if Lewis Seen falls or Dax Hill starts to fall toward pick 61, then you're really talking, I think. And this is a really good safety class. So
Dax Hill is Jimmy Ward. Like Dax Hill, Jimmy Ward. Like that's, yeah. Oh. And again, another guy you haven't seen too high, single high, things like that. But even Jimmy Ward, you watch him at, Northern Illinois? I believe he was at Eastern Illinois, Northern Illinois.
Northern, yes. The Huskies, right?
Yeah. He played a lot of nickel. Like that's what it looked like. There's cover four kind of quarters match stuff. That's 2014, so I'm kind of going off of memory here, but it wasn't like he was just your traditional single high safety, at least from what I remember. So him transitioning when he was drafted, it was like, oh, they're drafting him to be a cornerback, right? Which essentially like a nickel, and that made sense at that time.
Yeah. Petrie. The more I like Petrie. I know you don't like Petrie as much, Croc. He's got some twitch to him. You got to project him in deep coverage because he didn't show it. It's funny because the star position, by the way, we're going to have to push Cam Thomas, I think, back to tomorrow's show when we go live, I think, on Thursday night. With that star position in college, so many teams are using that now, and they put their best player there. And so you can't really hold it against them, but you still have to do some projecting. And you have, you know, Holland was, you know, mostly a nickel type of a guy that you mentioned. Minka Fitzpatrick played the star at Alabama. Fred Warner played the star at BYU, but one of them became a middle linebacker. Another one became a free safety. So it's really hard to project where they go from that position, but it is clear that they put their best players to be around the ball the most at that star position.
I think the thing you would have to look for is, you know, how instinctive is Petrie out in space? Because one thing about Minka Fitzpatrick, it was clear, like, yeah, he could play multiple positions. I felt like if you really want him to be a full-time corner, he could have been that. I think the issue with Miami was they put him everywhere and didn't let him settle in that one spot. Like, at least at, you know, Alabama, it was like, oh, you're playing the star position, essentially our nickel, and that's what you are. We'll line you up, you know, somewhere around there, but we're not going to do too much more with you. Well, you watch him for Miami, and it was like, you're a cornerback for a few weeks. Okay, now you're a nickel for a few weeks. Now you're a safety. And he never got a chance to kind of settle in. He's like, man, I don't like none of this. Trade me away. They traded him. And now he's been an all-pro safety playing for Pittsburgh. So, but his instincts were always there at Alabama. It was very clear. Playmaker all the time, making plays. And I've seen some of it from Petrie, but I'm just not as high. Like, I don't look at Petrie and be like, Minka.
Right. No, yeah, it's not definitely not a clear comp there with Minka, but interesting player. Interesting player. That's what's fun about scouting the NFL draft, because there's got to be some projection with a lot of these players. Okay, we are out of time here. We're going to have to push Cameron Thomas into tomorrow's show, maybe a couple of other edge rushers too. Let us know in the comments on YouTube or on Twitter at BDPeacock, at Eric_Crocker. Which prospects would you like us to break down and do some scouting reports before the NFL draft? We're 2 short weeks away. Thanks for making us your first listen. For your second listen, make sure you're checking out Croc doing Locked On NFL Draft. I'm doing Peacock and Williamson, talking about the entire league every single day. Croc and I, back tomorrow, right here, Locked On 49ers.